we're going to continue this subject that we began last week in relation to abortion and suicide and euthanasia. But I mainly want to focus tonight on the subject of suicide that is very prevalent in the world in which we live and in society, particularly Western society. And I think it is something that you have either been confronted with or that you will be confronted with at some stage, or something that has come up in your own life as a possible option. And we want to address that sensitively tonight, and with the help of God, provide some answers from his word in relation to this. Now, you remember, of course, last week, we thought about the subject of abortion, and we noted, just to go over some of these points, how that God is sovereign. Abortion is never okay. Abortion, we conclude from the scriptures, is a sin. It is God's prerogative to take life, to give life, and he is sovereign, and he has creatorial rights and redemptive rights and ultimate purpose in all that he has done and all that he is doing in the giving of life, bringing children into this world. And we know, of course, that it's God's prerogative to take life even from the womb, and he has done that. He has proved that on a number of occasions, of course. But this is God's right, and it's not the right of humans to interfere in relation to the giving of life by God. We also noted that life begins at the moment of conception. And we saw from the scriptures, particularly Psalm 139 and Jeremiah's prophecy into the New Testament too, that life begins in the womb. Life begins at the moment of conception. And so we need to take that into account, not to believe the lie of the world that it's just some unconscious piece of flesh termed as a fetus or an embryo. And now these are, of course, proper medical terms, but what we don't want to deny is that it is a child, it is a babe, and that's how the Bible refers to a child within the womb. We noted that human life is sacred. We are intrinsically valued by God, and that will come up again tonight in the subject of suicide, but human life is sacred, and we were created in the image of God, distinct from the animals, to exist eternally. We noted that God values children and God gives children, and we love to look back at the Lord Jesus and see his care and his love and his value placed upon children. And we saw plainly that abortion is sinful. It is not in accordance with God's word. Now, I want to broach this evening particularly the subject of suicide. I know that I've included euthanasia in this, and we noted last week that euthanasia is the intentional taking of life, but with a third party who is a willing participant. And it, the idea behind it is that to prevent any kind of prolonged or unnecessary suffering, one can have assistance to end their lives. But again, this transgresses the word of God for us. God has a purpose in the allotted time span that he's given us in life. And the scriptures are very clear on this. And again, if you want some of these scriptures, I'd be willing to email them to you. But it's very clear when we come to the word of God that God has an allotted time span for us as individuals, and we are to leave our lives in the hand of God. We're not to attempt to shorten them or to do something that whereby we attempt to take something out of the hands of God. We don't let God be God in essence. Now, God will always be God, of course. But we're not to do anything in our lives to prevent God's will from being accomplished. And so when it comes to the days of our life, we are to leave that to God. And God has purpose in allowing people to suffer. And that is going to come up again tonight particularly in relation to suicide, because we will note a man in scripture who desired to die. He desired to leave this life, but God thought it was best for him to stay. And in the midst of him staying, there was suffering, but in his suffering, God's strength could be made known. Suicide, of course, is the intentional taking of one's own life. And we noted last week that there were various statistics that are on the increase in relation to suicide rate. Now, what I want to note with you, of course, that whenever we come to the scriptures, as far as I can see in the scriptures, at least, there are a distinct number of cases of suicide. There are four very clear cases of suicide in the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse number 4, we find that Saul committed suicide. We find in 1 Kings 16 and verse 18 that Zimri, an evil king that reigned for 7 days in Israel, he also took his own life. He committed suicide in a fire. In 2 Samuel 17, verse 23, Ahithophel, he took his own life. He was traitor to David. Judas, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, he also took his own life. You remember he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and he went out and hanged himself. Tragically, these individuals took their own life. There is, of course, in Judges 16, verse 30, Samson. And Samson, he requested to die, or he requested for strength to push down the pillars, and he knew that that would result in the end of his life. Now, whether you would term that as suicide, I'm not 100% sure, but he knew, of course, that that action would result in his death. And when you come to Judges chapter 9 and verse number 54, there is a case of euthanasia where Abimelech was assisted in his death by another individual. The young man thrust him through and he died. He asked the young man to do that for him. But of course, when we come back to these things, whether it be suicide or euthanasia, it has to do with the motive, the intention. And the intention of that man, of course, was he wanted to die and he wasn't prepared to leave things to God. He would end his own life his own way. What we note out of every one of those circumstances and every one of those scriptures, if you were to go back and read those scriptures and read the context surrounding those deaths, those suicides, you would see that it's always in a negative context. It's never something that is pleasing to God. It's never something which is God's will. Our mission, Christians, is to place our lives in the hand of God, to trust God with our lives, to lay our all upon the altar, according to Romans 12, and to trust God for whatever he has for the pathway of life. In fact, life is a stewardship that has been given to the Christian, and we will be assessed at the judgment seat of Christ as to our stewardship of this pathway of life that has been given to us. But I'm not speaking this evening to those clearly who have committed suicide. We're speaking this evening and we're alive and we're listening and we're here with intention to learn from the scriptures in relation to this subject. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is not so much speak about those who did commit suicide, but I want to speak with you for a few moments about those who felt like dying, because that's, of course, ultimately where we arrive, or where a person will arrive when it comes to the point of suicide. There's been a pathway that has led them to a point where they do not feel like living. And I don't know, but maybe I'm speaking to someone this evening and you have arrived at that point in your life, in your existence. You don't feel like continuing. Now, that is no new phenomenon. That is a very real point to be at. And I want to be sensitive as I deal with this, sensitive with an understanding that this is painful and real and tragic. What I also want to distinguish at this point, I think it's very important for me to distinguish this, to make the distinction between a diagnosed mental illness and the general depressive or low feelings that can be caused by circumstances or sin, events in life, people, etc. And that's what we're going to concentrate on as we look at four people from the scriptures. We're going to look at Elijah and Jonah and Job and Paul. And each of these individuals wanted to leave this world. Three of them clearly wanted to die. They said that. And there were various reasons associated with that. And I trust that we can learn some lessons from this. And I think there will be lessons learned this evening from what I may term as both sides of the coin. If you're feeling like this, I hope that you can learn some lessons tonight that will cause you to go away and rethink. And if you've never felt like this, I trust that as a result of this little session, you will go away maybe having some understanding that these people are not alone, and that in reality, feelings like this can come upon any individual. So first of all, that distinction, I'm not talking tonight about a diagnosed mental illness. There needs to be medical help provided in situations like that. But I think that any one of us, without a diagnosed mental illness, any one of us as believers can enter into circumstances that cause us to become very low or to feel very low. Elijah, he entered into a circumstance which I would write over that it was to do with his mental state at the time. Now, not a diagnosed mental condition, but his mental state at the time was very low. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we will make reference to these scriptures, you can I would ask you to go and look them up afterwards and learn lessons from them, read them. But when you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, you'll notice that Elijah had come from Mount Carmel. There had been a great spiritual battle going on. He had been serving God upon that mount, and he had seen some victory, but he now had his life threatened. And he went on a journey which caused him tremendous physical exertion. And he arrived in a place, and I would say that at this point, he was mentally exhausted. Maybe there's someone this evening and you feel just mentally exhausted. And he lay down and he said this. He sat down under a juniper tree and he requested that he might die. And he said, I quote, "O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." And he meant it. What I want to note out of this is that God dealt with him in a unique way. You remember, of course, as you read that account, that there was a provision made for him. It says that an angel came twice and touched him. And there was a provision made of sustenance for him. He went on a journey further and came to a cave, and God dealt with him in that cave. But there were a number of things that took place. There was an earthquake, there was a fire, there was a great wind. But it tells us that God spoke to him in a still small voice. If there are any lessons that I can take out of this, maybe there's a lesson for those who are dealing with folk who are feeling mentally exhausted. Maybe they feel like they're at the end of the road and they feel like Elijah. I just wish my life would end. I don't want to continue living. Could I just say at this point, I think human touch is very important. You know, it's a very precious thing when you receive an arm around your shoulder. And I'm not speaking about a metaphorical, figurative language, a physical arm around the shoulder, a hug. And it tells us that the angel touched Elijah and provided sustenance. And brothers and sisters, the provision of not only physical sustenance, but spiritual sustenance for such. You know, when you are feeling low, it's in those points that you do not feel like feeding yourself, and that can be both physical and spiritual. And I think we need to be aware when folk are feeling like that, that they need help to be fed, whether it's ministered to in a physical, practical way or a spiritual way. Let us take lessons from this chapter. And God spoke to him in a still, small voice. You know, I think sometimes there's the inclination to just kind of tell people to pull their bootstraps a bit tighter and come on, get on with it. But let us just be sensitive to the reality that there are folk feeling very low. I'm going to come to the other side of the coin in a moment, and I'm going to address certain things which I'm going to be straight with you because we live in a very, very self-centered world. That's the other side of the coin. But I'll get there in a moment. What we want to note from this scripture is that there is a reality of feeling mentally very low, or emotionally very low, or physically very low, or spiritually very low. I notice that Job, his was a physical ailment. And when you read Job chapter 3, what you notice in the whole chapter, Job wanted to die. Now, if you were to go back to Job chapter 2, you would read about three friends of Job who came to visit him in his problematic circumstances. And they sat down with him, and it says this, for 7 days they didn't speak a word. That's the way chapter 2 concludes. And you come into chapter 3, and in Job chapter 3, Job just wishes he wasn't alive. You read through that chapter, and you come to chapter 4, and there's a great mistake made. His friends begin to speak unwisely. Could I just suggest again, when someone is going through a very difficult circumstance in life, whether it be emotional or physical or spiritual, or whether it be mental, let me be very slow to jump to conclusions or to give advice or to provide wisdom. You know, there are times when we just need to listen without saying anything. Now, this brings up the point of communication. If you are feeling low, if you are feeling at the end of the road, you need to communicate with someone. Find someone that you can trust. Speak to someone in the local assembly. Speak to someone more spiritual than yourself. Don't bottle these things up to the point where you feel you cannot speak to anyone. If you would like to send an email after this meeting, do so. Make that point of contact. Communicate. But then for those who may be communicated to, just be a ready and a willing listener. Let's not jump to give quick advice or speak unwisely. I notice that when I come to Job chapter 3. With Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, he wanted to end his life. But it tells us in Jonah chapter 4 that he was angry. I want to ask a question at this point. Is it ever okay to be angry with God? The simple answer is no. It's never okay to be angry with God. Now, you may be perplexed in life, and you may not understand. And this brings us to another man in Scripture who wanted to depart and be with Christ and could not understand why he had a physical, tangible thorn in the flesh, he describes it as. And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul the Apostle, he had an infirmity. This tangible physical ailment, this sickness, this infirmity, this thorn in the flesh that was given to him and allowed by God. And he wanted rid of it. But one thing I noticed with Paul is he never became angry with God. He besought the Lord 3 times to be done with it, for it to be taken away. But Jonah became angry with God. And what I want to say to you, dear child of God, is refrain from becoming angry with God. Jonah was told that he was wrong to be angry. Paul, in his condition with a thorn in the flesh, he was told by the Lord that it was in this physical weakness that the strength of God could be made known. You know, brothers and sisters, when you are passing through a difficult circumstance of life, there will be a purpose in it by God. If God has allowed you to pass through physical or mental or spiritual difficulties, there's a purpose in it. And you need to trust God. And so the Apostle Paul, he in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 acknowledged this. And in fact, he goes on to say that he would take pleasure in infirmities so that when he was weak, he could experience the strength of God. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul the Apostle, he had a desire to depart and be with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, it's better for you that I remain, or better for the Christians that he would remain. Now, what I want to learn out of that is that suicide is never the answer. Suicide is never the answer. I also learn a lesson out of this, that each one of those individuals that I've quoted for you this evening, when you analyze those scriptures, what you'll find is that though they wanted to die, they recognize this, that they would leave it to God. Now, brothers and sisters, we must leave our lives in the hands of God, and the length of them and the circumstances of them. God has purpose in all that he does. Suicide is never the answer. Can I remind you again this evening that you are intrinsically valued by God? You're loved by him, and you're loved by the saints too. You know, you may feel very low. You may feel like leaving this scene of time, but can I tell you tonight? It's not the answer. And you have to remember that there is a tragic effect. Well, there's a tragic effect to death itself, but there's a tragic effect to suicide. Think of those that would be left behind. Think of the influence and the effect. But what I want to say at this point is that, generally speaking, people do not wake up one morning desiring to commit suicide. There is always a pathway towards it. Sometimes that pathway that includes self-harm and leads ultimately to the desiring of taking one's life. But there's a pathway. And those of us who are Christians on this forum tonight, I presume all of us almost are Christians, maybe. But those of us who are Christians on this forum tonight, what I want to ask you right now, where you are sitting, because you may be thinking to yourself that this doesn't affect me. I don't feel suicidal. My circumstances are pretty good at the moment. But you never know what you will be allowed into by God. What I want to say to you is that you and I need to guard our spiritual lives. How is your walk with the Lord presently? You need to read the scriptures daily. We need to spend time with the Lord. Because passing through difficult circumstances, if I have not been walking with the Lord, it will have a detrimental effect on my spiritual well-being, but it will have a detrimental effect on my mental state, my emotional state. And so, brothers and sisters, it's imperative that right now, right where we are found walking with the Lord. Now, we live in a very self-centered world, a world that constantly bombards you of finding self-worth, providing and looking for self. And it's self, 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 self first in this world. But as Christians, it's a very different outlook on life. We put others first. Ultimately, we put God first. And then our neighbors before ourselves. But I want to just reiterate this point. We live in a self-centered world, which I believe has been a contributing factor to the rate of suicide that is increasing. And just where you are and just where I am, we need to be reminded as Christians to put God first, to put others before myself. Be careful who you listen to. You know, in this process, often counselors can be involved. Secular counselors. Now, I'm not despising that. I'm not despising that. I'm not decrying that. And I'm not saying that is unnecessary. But can I tell you this evening, there is no greater counsel than this book. It will give you counsel for every circumstance of life. And if you feel that you're at a point where you just can't read your Bible. You need to be in touch with someone who is reading their Bible. Communication is a key. Brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful when it comes to secular counselors, because the worldly philosophy of the philosophy of this world is very dangerous. It focuses on making self at the center. And I believe that there is a great tendency in this world to bring up the past and to trip over the past. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not despising that totally, but I want to bring a word of warning here. Sometimes people want to bring up the past in order to find someone to blame for my current state of feeling low. Remember, as Christians, we ought to forgive. Now, that may be applicable to you this evening. If you find yourself in circumstances where you're feeling low and it's the result of somebody else's sin or harm towards you, I know, because I've experienced it myself, that the secular counselors of this world will tell you that you need to kind of rake all those coals open again and find that person to blame. And well, just remember that God wants us to forgive. Another thing that will arise in secular advice is that you need to forgive yourself. Well, when it comes to sin, you and I can never forgive ourselves. It's only God that can forgive us. But it's good to remember just tonight where you are, that when God has forgiven you of sin, it is dealt with eternally. And this is what God says: their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Stop dragging them up. They've been buried in the depths of the sea. And as someone has well said, a sign has been put up: no fishing. Don't keep dragging them up. Be careful about trawling over things of the past. I think each one of us will have things of the past in our lives, and certain individuals on this call tonight have very traumatic circumstances from the past. Be careful not to unnecessarily bring them up and open those wounds again. Sometimes we need to just leave things with God. Now, remember this: suicide is never the answer. It is never the answer. I'm very thankful we have a Savior who gave his life for us as a sacrifice. He intentionally laid down his life. Suicide, of course, is always aided by an outside force. When it comes to the Lord Jesus giving his life, he gave it voluntarily and of his own volition, in his own power, his own strength. He said he had the power to lay it down. No person or force or thing or suffering took the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it, and he gave it for you, and he gave it for me. Brothers and sisters, let us come back to Christ. That's where we will find he alone is worthy. Now, that's where I will conclude my comments. We're going to have a look at some questions. But just to go over those things, when you look at the examples of suicide in Scripture, they're all in a negative context. And so suicide can never be the answer. Remember that, yes, there is mental and emotional and physical and spiritual difficulties of the Christian pathway. But communication and listening and physical touch and sustenance and providing. And recognizing, brothers and sisters, when people are passing through difficulties and just being there to listen. But never be angry with God. So let us learn some lessons from that. We'll pray.